Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Today, all the music we hear is performed by Zandi Gray, who is our guest. Zandi is a bartender at The Spot Edo in Houston. Her family actually owns two locations of The Spot, and she is really fortunate to be part of the community that her family has built in the Houston area over the last several years. On top of that, she is a rising star, an R&B princess, and the lessons she's learned behind the bar is really serving her well while navigating the music industry. So let's sit back and listen to some amazing music and some fun tales about up and coming in both the bar world, but really in the music world.
Tell us where you're working and just things like that. Just a little brief intro on you.
Gotcha. So my name is Zandi. I also go by Alex Gray. I work at The Spot Edo. It's a branch of the first location, which is The Spot Lounge and Bar. They're both located in Houston, the Third Ward area on Emancipation Street, both on Emancipation Avenue. And my parents have owned these locations. Well, the first one, it just made 16 years. So that one's been open for 16 years, and it's definitely, I would say, the heart of the community, especially exactly where it's at. Like, everybody knows about The Spot. Everybody goes. When I was in school, my friend's parents would be going to that bar. So anyway.
It's a longtime community thing.
Long-time community thing.
And a family business.
Yes, and a family business.
I have no idea.
They just recently opened this location. It just made its second year mark. Mm-hmm. And so that's been great. This has been my first time bartending. I actually used to work at Hooters. And I wasn't a I actually was not a bartender there. But I quit to work at my parents' bar, and that was like, cause they were like, you don't have to work there. Right. And I'm like, you're right. And I quit and I was only making like $80 there a day, and drastically changed when I started working for my parents. So, and they've been supporting me with my music. They play my music. It's a club scene. They play my music while I'm working, when I'm not there. I have a really good relationship with all the DJs, and it's just been a good networking experience.
Well, your music,
sure.
By the way, I'm trying to think if I've had anyone on the podcast who has been recently mentioned in Billboard like yourself. I mean, I've had some folks who, like, back in the day, maybe they had something,
right.
had some notice or something like this, but you just dropped some music and you just got written up. And so let's just talk about your music right now, because it's so new and so fresh and super exciting. You must be so excited right now that it's, like, out.
Yeah. There. Yeah, I definitely am. Like, it's especially the last project I just dropped, Grown, which dropped on January 20th. I already have, like, one of my songs has, like, over 55,000 streams, just one of the songs on Spotify. Mm-hmm. So it's been great. Like, I had my press release party for my newest project at the spot, Edo. That was really great. It's so great to have a venue like that mm-hmm, in our back mm-hmm. pocket, because we've mm-hmm. done my listening party for my other EP, Girl Talk. We did a big album release party there. Yeah. That was super fun. It was super lit, super turnt. And so, yeah, I've been recording since I was 15. I'm 24 now. But I've always been singing, but I've been, like, in the booth since I was in high school. So things mm-hmm. are finally starting to come into fruition for me. And so I'm just buckling up for the ride and, like, you know, mm-hmm, just preparing mm-hmm. my mind and my spirit for everything. But it's been great. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
When did you first start singing at home? Were you, like, a little kid singing along to the radio or?
Yeah, like, it was one of those stories people always ask me. I'm like, yeah, it's literally like that. Like, nobody else in my family sings. Like, my grandpa, he plays the saxophone, and his son, my uncle, he plays the piano. But other than that, that's it. Nobody sings. So I'm just that one in the family that was blessed with that talent. And so I've been singing literally since I could talk. I can remember some of my first moments. I live in Texas. So, and I'm from Houston, Texas. So there's a commercial that used to come on for Ford, and it's like, mm-hmm. Ford is the best in Texas. And, like, my family would make me sing that like it was like an opera song, like, in front of the whole family. But it just transpired onto that. Like, it just went on from there. I'm like, oh, I really love to sing. I love an audience. I love to perform. So it just blossomed, honestly. And my parents really, you know, nurtured that dream of mine. So
now, how did you get to the point where you've already released music? I mean, you're pretty young. You already did it. When did you start, like, actually, you're like, I'm going to record, I'm writing my own songs. When did you start really putting it out there and gigging and stuff?
So when I was 15, so a sophomore in high school, mm-hmm. I went into the booth. I had been in recording booths. Of course, my mom was with me. We would find people that, you know, wanted to didn't mind recording a kid or whatever. I would go into the booth, but I was 13. Like, mm-hmm. looking back, I'm so happy I didn't release any of that music, because sometimes when you're young, like, that can really brand you. Like,
yeah,
people won't, you know, they'll, like, how people call Bow Wow, they still call him Little Bow Wow.
Bow Wow.
He wants mm-hmm. He wants to go by Shad Moss, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So it's like, I'm glad I didn't release any of that music, but the music I released when I was 15 was really good. I released it on SoundCloud. It was my first song ever, called She Ain't Me. Mm-hmm. I performed that at my high school. It was, like, a really big hit. It got, like, over 20,000 streams. And that was before, like, promotion.
Yeah.
Before, like, really using social, you know, how artists use their social media to, you know, it was before that. So that was, like, my first big jump off. And then from there, I just been releasing music ever since, especially when I got to college. I was able to, like, really, you mm-hmm. know, release music.
What were you writing about when you were 15?
Yeah. I was writing, I actually had, like, a pretty bad,
like, you already got dumped when you were 15?
Yeah, exactly. Like, a pretty bad breakup. And me and him are, like, still cool to this day.
Yeah.
But, like, it was, so I was, like, just writing about that.
Well, I remember someone telling me once that all pop music, and I said this before on the podcast, all pop music mm-hmm. wouldn't exist if it weren't for teenage girls. because teenage girls hear it all first, or we feel it all so immensely, and we hear those songs and relate to them. So we can be like 14 or 15 and had our crush reject us and actually write a really valid, heartbreaking song, right? And yeah. So the girls love it. And then the guys start paying attention because they want to hang out with the girls or something.
Right.
You know, so I kind of like, that's how it kind of seeps about. But
yeah, I mean, so definitely.
Totally you could write something that good when you're that young.
Yeah. And then like you think about like how girls are, I don't want to use the word groomed, but like we're shaped to want to be princesses and look for the prince, you know, all these Disney movies, they're all about love at the end of the day. So we are like 15.
Yeah.
Exactly. By the time we're 15, we're like already like, yeah, so this is, I want to get married this time. I want to have a husband.
Right?
Or I want to have kids. That, you know, like when guys are just kind of living their life.
We've already been set up for disappointment by the time we're 15.
And my mom would always say like, these relationships are not going to work out. Like, and I'm like, that's what you think. But she was like, totally right. But there's no way to like put that in a 15-year-old's mind.
Right.
Like,
totally.
You know,
that's so cute. Definitely. So what kind of stuff are you writing about now?
So my latest EP, Grown, it's basically about me just coming into my womanhood, coming into my adulthood.
Yeah.
That's just been like the theme of like year 24 for me. Like I'm telling myself by 25, my birthday is in December, by 25, I want to set myself up for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to be getting it when I'm older. So I've just been writing about just loving at this age. I have a song called Jealousy because that's something that a lot of women and men, you know, deal with, even myself. A song called Love No More because I'm at a place where I'm not really interested in falling in love. Like, I feel like you have to want to love, and I just don't have that in me right now. And so yeah, I'm just like a song about
that's
that.
So then, valid too, is just about loving yourself and putting yourself first, you know, and you can't be with someone else until you've got yourself in order, you know.
Exactly. And like, although like I've always really loved myself and been secure and confident, now it's time to like nourish myself and like take care of my, like, you know how like self-care day every day, like, that's how I'm really thinking. So like I talked to someone, but it's just, it can't go to that next level for me at the moment just because I'm just so into myself right now. I'm just,
well, you've got a plan,
you know. Exactly. I'm just laser focused.
So when you were a kid though, and you were starting to sing, who were some like just role models for you? And you see, you had to have some people out there. You're like, that, this is the way I want to go. This is partly how I want my career to go. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be your way, but there had to be inspirations out there.
Oh, well, definitely Beyonce, you know, like
I'm from hero.
Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm from Houston. So when I was old enough to start remembering things around four, she was just getting into her debut album as a solo artist. Mm-hmm. So that was probably the first and biggest influence on my artistry. Me and my mom used to sing her music in the car all the time together, and I was just so young, so little. So her for sure. I love Mary J. Blige. I even said even Chris Brown, because when I was like becoming into, like when I was in my adolescence, figuring out who I am, he was one of the artists that was out. And because I'm an artist, even at that young age, I was listening to the lyrics. I was listening to his runs and his melodies. So that too, I love Neo. I even listened to a lot of Anita Baker. And Mary J. Blige, super big influence, and another artist, India Irie. So it was a couple that, like, and I grew up in, like, a white area. So I also was able, like, I listened to a lot of pop growing up. Like, I loved pop, you know, like, that's something that my, you know, my other Black friends may or may not share with me, you know, because of where we grew up. But I really love pop music and rock, and I enjoy all that. So it was a lot of influences, honestly, that
You know, something I've wondered about is, you know, hip hop, obviously, you know, the Grammys just did that 50 years of hip hop thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, this big old thing. And I'm old enough to be like, oh my God, it's been that long. Hip hop has always been around. You know, I can remember a time when I didn't feel like hip hop was everywhere, but now I feel like hip hop is pop music.
Because absolutely,
there's pop music and hip hop. They're the same. This is the same level to me. Everyone listens to all of that. So to me, it's almost like everyone's just hearing it all. They're, you know,
yeah, exactly.
No matter what color the neighborhoods or anything. Growing up in a Latin family, I always joked around in a Latin family that the grandma, like the abuela, was listening to the same stuff as her grandson, right? Because it's the same house. Everybody's listening to the same thing. So it didn't matter if it was reggaeton or if it was old cumbia. Everybody knows the same song. So I think depending on the community, you get that kind of thing. And it sounds like you are raised, you've been raised really in quite a community, communal kind of environment with your parents running these restaurants and everything.
Yes.
So how was that for you growing up? Were you, did you hang out at the restaurants, at the clubs when you were a kid?
Well, first I want to say, like, I grew up in a suburb called Pearland, Texas. Mm-hmm. And that Pearland is a melting pot to me. There's like equal amounts of races. Like I have an Asian next door neighbor, and then my other next door neighbor is Black. And then the person across the street is white. So, you know, it's like a, it's a big melting pot. But I was, so when the spot opened, I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't up there. And now that I work there, I see why. Because it's like, even now my mom will be like, you heard about that? No. And I'm like, first of all, I'm 24, and second of all, yes, like everybody's talking about it, like we all, you know how like just stuff gets around in the bar community. I can't, of course I heard about it, but yeah, I wasn't able to. But I will say, my parents, since they've been in this industry for so long, they like customers are very, these customers love my parents. Like they'll come and they'll come to the house, play chess with my dad, or you know, or sit outside and they'll smoke a cigar or something, you know. So I already, like by the time I was working, they're like, oh, little Alex, what you doing back here? You know, like I had knew them all. I just didn't know them on the level that I know them now. Due to you, you and only you. You don't know what to say, baby, say my name. Yeah, if you don't know what to do, you do me and I'll do you.
Was it at the spot? Was that your first bartending gig? Was the spot?
Yeah. So I graduated from Howard University, but before I graduated, I had to come home. Yeah, it's in DC. Nice. And so I had to come home during COVID, and I finished my degree online with Howard. But anyway, so when I came home, I had a job. I had a job out there. But when I came back home, I was like, dang, I need a job. So I started working at Hooters. Hated it. Just throwing that out there. Hated it. Do not, 0 out of 10. Do not recommend. But then, like I said, my parents are like, you can come bartend. And I was a little intimidated because they've all that those bartenders, like my parents have bartenders that's been working for them for over 10 years. It's great money. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a beast. Like it's a high volume bar, you know? And so I was a little intimidated, but I had a comfort knowing that, you know, my parents owned it. They would be around. And like I said, I already kind of knew these people. So I started working for them. I think it was April 2020. So we've been open almost three years now. It'll be 3 years in April. But and I've been working there ever since. And I started training at the first location. Then once the new location was open out first day, I was already ready.
Mm-hmm. So what do you like about bartending then?
You know, I'm still
figuring
discovering
it out.
Yes, what I will say is I believe that everything happens for a reason. And because I've God, you know, knows I've always wanted to be in this industry, and everybody knows I've always wanted to be like in the music industry. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that I'm taking away from, like I'm working 12-hour shifts. Like I'll get in at 3 o'clock and I'll leave at 3 a.m. And like, that's how the music industry is a lot of the times. You're working for hours and hours at a time, very, very late night, still have to get up the next morning, do what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm, so I think, like I said, everything happens for a reason. And that's giving me, because before I was an early bird and I went to sleep no later than like 10 o'clock. Like I've always been like that. Like since like I was a kid, like a kid. So like now my sleeping habits are like totally
switching
different.
Over.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm glad because I might have to do a show and then get up in the morning and do an interview or, you know, so it's teaching me balance. So I really like that. And then also it's teaching me self-control. Because, you know, dealing with people who are under the influence, you know, first of all, you know, the customer's always right, not your quotes, but, you know,
I think since COVID, people have rethought that, especially in the bar.
Yeah, I know. Because they're like, not always right. But I'm like, not always still, right. You know, but my parents have made it clear that, like, just because I'm their daughter, I can't go in there cussing everybody out.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like, it's just taught me a lot of self-control and just like I've always been an empath, but it's just giving me like just more insight to people. Like, and not everything's personal. Like, you know, like not everything, most things are not personal at all. So I'm just learning lessons, but I do like to interact with people. It's just sometimes in the area we're in, it'll just be so high volume and everybody's, you have regulars that feel like, you know, they should get their drink no matter how long the line is and stuff like that. And then you got to deal with them being mad at you. And so it's just a lot, you know,
it is just a lot. You know, it's funny because, you know, I've talked to so many musicians who work behind the bar and a lot of the comparisons to bartending and being a performer is that performance side of things. You know, you're behind the bar, people are watching you, you're making the drinks, but what you're talking about is so obvious and just never really thought about it. Just giving you that, learning how to deal with all these different kinds of people. And if you're pursuing a music career, you also have to get a sense of, okay, this is what this person is expecting. This is how I handle that person. And
exactly.
Except you're doing it really fast.
And it's like, because I can't, because even when, you know, when I'm on those Grammy stages and on those red carpets, it wouldn't be a good look to, you know, be going off and just being angry. And it's like I deal with those things in private. You know, when I get home, I like discuss it with my parents or whatever, or call a friend or whatever. So, yeah, it's just helping me, like, and then also like coworkers, too. Dealing with coworkers that like may not work as hard as you or make as good of drinks as you or maybe better than you. It's been a whole bunch of dynamics.
Like what drinks do you like making so far since you've been doing this?
So I make the best lemon drops. Like everybody says that, like, I make the best lemon drops. I make really good margaritas too. It's my dad's recipe. Tomorrow is because when they first opened the first location, my dad was always up there bartending. Like he had his that's how they developed those relationships. And so tomorrow for Margarita Day, he's going to be making margaritas from 5 to 6. So I know it's going to be packed up there. Yeah. but margaritas. And then I like making sidecars too, even though I don't like cognac, I like making those.
Nice. Those are cool. Have you found a spirit that you like now? Since you've gotten into it, sounds like you're not really much of a partier. So it wasn't like you had, unless you did have those like, oops, college experiences, you know?
Oh, definitely. I'll say just the first year that I was working there, I almost became alcoholic. I can openly say that now because
you got past it.
Huge step back. I got past that for sure. But it was just being surrounded by so much alcohol. And then, you know, customers wanting to buy you a drink. And then I would come up there on my off days. And it was just, and like one time I woke up And like, I told my friend, I was like, I'm craving Patron, but like from my blood, like from my bloodstream though. Like,
yeah,
I can't even,
no.
You know, I was like, I can't even describe the way I'm, and I had just woke up. So I was like, okay, time to get that in order. But with that being said, when I was like going through, you know, drinking, because I wasn't a big drinker in college because I wasn't old enough. By the time I was 21, I was already home for COVID.
Yeah.
But I never had like a fake ID because I was like, I'll be 21 soon. And then literally, and then I could, anyway,
and then everything.
That's something I regret.
Well, nothing you could do about it. The world did that for you, you know?
Yeah, like, literally. So I was like,
the world
you know,
took away
whatever.
Your debaucherous 21st birthday.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all good. But so I was, I started off drinking like Grey Goose, which like now, I don't know what that was about.
We
but
all
now I, drink, I just drink Patron, like tequila. I like.
Mine was Midori. So
Midori?
Yeah, I know, right?
Is that that? That's the blue
that's
bottle?
The, no, that's the green one. That's the green one.
Oh, it's a. It's a green
super green,
one.
Like bright green. It, basically, it's like we got diabetes just talking about it just now, you know?
Yeah.
We Ooh. All got to start somewhere, right?
Yes. When I first started drinking, I was like drinking like Parmesan and like, I know, just like Crown Peach. And
oh, people love that stuff.
They do. Like, even to this day, I'm like, ugh. People ask for like green crown apple margaritas. That's something I've made. I'm like, that's nasty. But I make it.
But it's
and they love
own,
it,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, this is amazing, though, that you obviously are really, I mean, I have to commend you for being smart enough to see the traps, you know, to see where you can stumble and fall and to be able to take control of that, because it will serve you, like you said, it will serve you going forward once your music career fully explodes, which it seems like it's already kind of blowing up. So I know I mentioned it at the beginning, but tell me about the press you've gotten. Because how did the Billboard thing come up? I love that. I saw that. I looked you up and I'm like, what? She's in Billboard?
Yeah.
Awesome. So what's been coming up on this album for you?
This album pretty much sparked everything for me. I have a really good PR agent. His name is Chad Black. He's like well known in the city. But he helped me get those connections. Nice. Once he sent them my streams and my accolades and my music, they were like, you know, very happy to work with me. So they sent me some interview questions. I answered them. And then I was on Billboard Hip Hop. And then I was also on the Breakfast Club, their website.
Nice.
Power 105.1. So that was awesome too. And I just recently did an interview with 102.1. That's our R&B station out in Houston. It's been around for years and years and years and years. And it's a station I used to listen to growing up. So I was super, super ecstatic about that. That was awesome.
So cool. That is so cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I was like on live air talking. They're playing my music. I got to sing a bit. It was really great. So press is just, I really believe in, especially because I'm a breakout artist now. Mm-hmm. I know some artists and it's like, no, you know, not trying to knock them, but they wouldn't be open to certain interviews, or if they're smaller, or if they're with, you know, that's, you might have a listener that's never heard of me. And so I want them to know, you know, so now I have been asked to do sport podcasts and I'm like, y'all wouldn't really enjoy me on that because I won't really be knowing what y'all are talking about at all. Like, you know, so I've had to decline those. But other than that, like, the interviews have been great. You know, hosts like you have been like very gracious and just very like lighthearted, and it's been great doing these interviews.
It's fun. I mean, it's fun to do it, and this was kind of an interesting when I reached out and heard back, it's like, oh, you have to talk to Zandy. It's like, we've got this bar and you got to talk to Zandy. And I was like, and I looked you up and I was like, oh my God, yes, this is perfect. I love talking to people who are in the industry and do music as well. Sometimes they've already done it and they're finished with it. Sometimes they're just starting out like you. And it's so exciting. And I always say there's you know, you were talking about there's going to be that listener that's never heard of you, right?
And right.
I always say, like, people think I've worked in the music industry my entire life, like decades, but there's mm-hmm. still so much to learn. And there are always, music never stops.
Absolutely.
There's yeah. always new music. And so when I listen to your stuff, I was listening to it last night, walk around the house. My husband's like, what is this? This is the woman I'm talking to tomorrow. He's like, this is nice. I'm like, yeah.
I'm glad awesome. Y'all like it.
It was awesome. So excited to chat with you. So what is next for you? Musically, do you get to start playing some clubs? Are you zipping around the country? What are you going to try to do next?
So I just left New York and had a talk with a major label, 300. Mm. And that's oh, yeah. who, like, yeah, Megan Thee Stallion is signed to mm-hmm. them, Young yeah. Thug. So we had a really good conversation. We're starting to, you know, work on a partnership, I'll say. Mm-hmm. But I like to drop my music in like a 6 week time span. So it's about time to drop my latest single, and it's actually gonna be a really big Houston hit. It's sampling like a Houston classic.
Aww.
And so I have, yeah, and has a really like a big producer actually in the game that made it, EXO. So I'm really excited. I think it's gonna like really drive me out of like where I'm at right now, because mm-hmm. I'm still my music, my streams are great, but I'm just trying to, like, you know, get to break that
build
wall
it up.
To get mm-hmm. to the, you know,
yeah.
so
yeah.
That should be releasing in the next couple of weeks, and I'm also shooting my music video to my song You Know I Do mm-hmm. next week, and You Know I Do is like one of the biggest songs on my newest EP right now. Everybody loves that one. So yeah, just music videos, music, like what I've learned since graduating, because when I was in college, I really wasn't able to dedicate myself to this, mm-hmm. like, because I had a job, I was in college, mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. also, I was in pageants, it was just all types of stuff, so I wasn't able to dedicate myself to my music, but now it's just consistency is really key, so I'm just yeah. trying to just keep coming out with new things, interview when I can, travel when I can, you know, network when I can. So honestly, I'm just gonna keep working and doing the things that I've been doing, keep building my catalog up.
Cool. The hustle never stops
at all. It can't or, you know, or
yeah,
that's, you know, you gotta
keep that momentum going for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, that
absolutely.
Is amazing. Okay, so this is probably a good place to wrap it up. So you got to tell everybody where they can find you. Now, obviously, if they're in Houston, we find you
yes.
at the bar. So it's at the spot.
Yes. So yeah, y'all, if y'all are in Houston, y'all can please come by the spot, Third Ward. It's 4709 Emancipation Avenue. Mm-hmm. And they're open 7 days a week, all day. And then, yeah, pretty much all day. And then the spot Edo, which is the bigger, nicer, newer location, is on the same street, 2003 Emancipation, and they're open Thursday through Sunday. So yeah, you can come catch me behind the bar, you know, tip the girl real good.
Yes, tip good.
Yes. And then that's another thing, that just sidebar, I've always, like, since I got in college, I've realized how, like, tipping was like important, but definitely after I started working at Hooters mm-hmm. and then bartending, now it's like when I go to a bar, I'm like, oh no, it's okay, don't worry about it. Because I get it. I totally
yep.
get it.
Yep.
I get it. But yeah, y'all can find me on Instagram at Zandi Official. That's XANDI Official, XANDI Official. And then you'll see all my other social media on there. And you can listen to my newest EP, Grown, on all streaming platforms. You just type in Grown, GROWN, Zandi, XANDI, and I will pop up. And you're really going to enjoy it. It's a 15-minute project. Project, and it's really a vibe. I think it's my best project yet.
It's definitely a vibe. I love it. It's great.
Thank
it's
you.
Totally just, yeah, I'll be listening to it again and again and again. I'm so excited
thank
for you.
Thank you.
So I just met you and I'm so excited for you. And you talk about 300.
Thank you.
And I know 300. So I just,
yes.
One day I'm going to be like, oh, I talked to her back then.
And I keep telling people, I'm like, and we're going to do another interview. Like,
yeah.
You know? So
gonna be
I can't wait till we talk again. And
I'll
then,
talk to you.
You know,
we
have more
in Los Angeles. So at yes. some point you will be here in Los Angeles and I'll be like waving
Absolutely.
At you from the Grammy Museum. Oh, there she is.
Absolutely.
I have one more question for you before uh-huh. we wrap this up. And that is Beyonce or Solange?
As far as music?
Yeah. Or... Well, if you can give an argument for both. Because I can see both of them in your music when you talked about that.
And so yeah. I would say for me personally, even though I think they're both equally like beautiful, great musicians, mm-hmm. I just grew up on Beyonce.
Yeah.
You know, because like Solange was real young when she, so I just
that
didn't, I didn't know
true.
Of her. But her When I Get Home project, it's funny you said that because I was listening to Solange today and I was like, this mm-hmm. project is so good. Like mm-hmm. they're just musical geniuses.
They're, and they're
they
totally
really are.
Different. They're coming at it from
and
different
I love
angles.
That.
Same.
And I love that because it's so many genres and music to cover. Mm-hmm. You can combine genres,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that you can, it's so much to do. So for her to go that alternative route, I love it. So yeah, but if I had to choose, I would say Beyonce just because like I said, I grew up
okay.
on her.
All right. I made you do it. So otherwise you never would have chosen.
Never.
Well, don't go. But thank you so much for talking to me today. I was so excited to chat with you.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me.
Step, I am ready. Hold up, I'm ready now. Got big plans of winning. Won't stop till I get the ticket and the picket fences. I'm so serious. Gotta grind, ain't no time for kicking it. Gotta move if you really feel it. Turn it up if you wanna hear it. Help me say.
Zandi Gray, a real delight and a talent. I really recommend looking her up on whatever streaming service it is that you use. The tracks that we heard, well, right now we're listening to Winning. We also heard in the middle there, Say My Name. And at the top of the show, we heard Up and Down. So if you like those, I've got another track coming. We're going to listen to something from her new EP. The song we'll hear is You Know I Do. And if you find yourself in the Houston area, then you should check out The Spot and check out The Spot Edo, the second location, so that you can say hi to Zandi, unless she's on tour or something. Also, Zandi's put together a drinking playlist for us. It's got some of her songs on it, but some good bar songs. So head on over to the Mo Herms Spotify page to see that. And now let's listen to a track from Zandi. This is You Know I Do.
I fuck it up. You got one time to play me and that thing gon' go clack. First time that you tried it and that boss like you jack. First move when you date me and got no time to slack. You ain't ever seen a bad bitch go tit for tat. I got you tripping and stumbling, can't talk, got you stuttering. You look mad when I got to you, but you said it was nothing. We can't grow into something, but you keep trying to push for me like I'm some kind of button. Like you really could trust me. I got niggas in London, I got niggas in Paris. Got some niggas back home, swear to God they all love me. Got a couple in DC and they wish they could touch me. Got a couple overseas wishing that they could cover.
You know I do, you know I do, you know I do.
You love it when I ride it, baby.
I know you do, I know you do, I know you do.
I tell them spend it on me.
I know you do, I know you do, I know you do.
He said he think that I'm the one.
I know you do, I know you do.
You don't come from this royalty bloodline.
Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, S-H-E-B-M-O. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.